God is good, and all the time. Today, we are wrapping up our sermon on melting cold hearts. So I'd like to welcome our folks out there on Facebook and YouTube and Periscope and wherever you're getting this from. We love having you here with us in the sanctuary. And if you're looking, it might look like we're down a little bit today. That's because our ladies are on retreat. Amen. They have retreated from us, men. but they have gone to search for the Lord. Amen. That's what happens when you're married 35 years. You send your wife into the wilderness and, you know, she starts looking for other guys. But that's all right because he's the one who has brought us together. And I would much rather she would have a love relationship with him than me, because that relationship will strengthen this one. Amen? If she loves me first, things aren't going to be so good. But if she loves him first, things can be great between she and I. And that's what I want. And I pray each and every one of us do. So today, we're going to be looking at wrapping up melting cold hearts. Today's sermon is entitled, Starting the Defrost Cycle. How many of you have ever had an old alcohol freezer? An old alcohol freezer. That's the old freezers that they had a compartment inside that was about 12 inches wide and about 2 feet deep and maybe 3.5 feet long, and the walls were like almost a foot thick the whole way around them. You ever see one of them? Oh man, I'm telling you. I had one at our house. My great-grandparents had one. They weighed a ton. They didn't work on Freon. They used alcohol. And there was so much alcohol in those things, it took 4 men and 2 boys to pick it up and move it. I mean, they were something else. The thing of it was, they would become a solid block of ice over time because they had absolutely no way of defrosting. They were terrible. And literally, you would open the freezer at some point in time, and it would just be a solid block of ice. You couldn't get anything out of it. So you had to defrost it. Well, how did you defrost it? You unplugged it. Yeah, you unplugged it. You let it thaw out. All right? Well, see, that became a problem because what ends up happening then is all that stuff that's inside there, you got to cook it because you've defrosted it, you've thawed it. So now you've got to cook it and jar it or something other. And so we got a little bit smarter as time went by. And we literally began to use Freon, and then we started using these little devices in there. It's called auto defrost, where it would go through a cycle, pull out all the frost, but it wouldn't thaw everything, and then it would kick back on and refreeze everything quickly. That's what women, you guys like your automatic defrosting refrigerators and freezers now, don't you? Yeah, we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. We walk in there, and it looks like just like it came off the store shelf, right? Folks, we are not right off the store shelf. As human beings, we have been through so much stuff in this world. We are freezer burnt in many instances because we have literally been frozen into that solid block. And when you look at our society today, I mean, folks, if you are not seeing the signs of the times that Jesus is speaking of, that we're going to be looking at, you're not watching what's going on. You're deluded, okay? Because we see what Jesus has been speaking of. This, I think this is amazing, this teaching that we're doing. And I pray you folks out there on Facebook and YouTube, by the way, hi, Dan and Gloria. Hi, Miss Faye. Love to have you with us. Miss Pauline and Rick, they're down at the shore yet. There's so many of them out there. And I'll bet our ladies at the mountains are watching us too. Everybody turn around and wave at them. Hi, ladies. Because they are committed to our church, and I thank everyone that's watching. But when we think about our world, the world's not committed to the church. The world's not committed to God. And the world is frostbitten. Okay, the world is truly cold towards the things of God. But yet, if you listen to what they're saying, they want everybody to be open. They want everybody to be accepting and loving. But then they're so bigoted on the other side of things that if you don't accept everything that they're telling you, you have to accept, they start melting down, and it just makes no sense. It's like you expect us to accept you, but you're not going to accept us. How does this work? Okay, this is what cold hearts look like. This is broken people that continue to break. So today, we're going to get into this word. We're going to look at this word because Jesus is speaking to us here in a very real fashion, looking at the end of times. Because isn't that where this started? Jesus was asked, what are going to be the signs of the end of the time? And people literally think, and I think it's so funny, they literally think that that's all Jesus is talking about here is the end of times. This is what the end of times is going to look like. Folks, Jesus has so much to say here to us throughout the generations. Remember, Jesus understood the singularity of the human mind. But let us understand the plurality of God. Now, there's a lot of theologians out there right now who are going to look and say, oh my gosh, where's that guy going? Because God is three in one, okay? God thinks three times deeper into a subject than any of us do. Do you understand that? He is one entity, but he's three persons. So he is fully one mind, but he's also three minds. How deep can you think? If you had three minds, how deep can you think? Now, I want you to think about this. You've all done it. How many of you have been in a group, and there's three or four of you, and all of a sudden, ideas and things start coming up that you're like, oh my goodness, I never thought of that. That's because the power of the mind, when put together, doesn't just increase by fourfold. It literally goes exponentially higher. So when we think about the mind of God and what he's trying to tell us here, it is exponentially higher than any of us understand. So today, let's get into this final word that we're going to bring out of Matthew 24. Because Jesus here is going to start where I need to finish. He says from verse 42 in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, therefore, be on alert. Now, got to stop. Therefore what? In other words, everything that I just taught over the last 3 weeks, because of all these things, be on alert. Now, I need to ask you a question. Be on alert for what? The end of times. We're supposed to be looking for the end of times. We're supposed to be listening for the trumpet. We're supposed to be waiting and watching, right? It's far more than that. It's far more than that. And this is one of the things that I need each and every one of us as Christians to understand. Jesus here was talking to these people. They wanted to know about the end of times. Jesus was teaching them about the times of every end. When is the end of time? When you die, that's the end of your time. Time is over for you. You enter eternity at that moment. Jesus here throughout this whole thing is literally warning the church. He is warning these men. They are looking for something that far out. Jesus knew it was that far out, okay? He didn't know when it was coming, but he knew it was far away. And he was telling them, don't be looking there. Look around. Be on alert. Because you're going to already see these things. Everything that I have taught you thus far, how much of it are we seeing now? How much of the destruction? How much of the partying? How much of all this stuff, all 3 weeks that I've gone over with you, are you seeing happen now? Be on alert. Because it's now. Folks are dying every day. We are seeing the last day for many people every day. When is the last day? That's a loaded question, people. Because your last day is the day that you need to worry about, not the last day of time. And let me ask you a question. How many of you folks here? How many of you folks out there? How many of you folks out there? How many of you know when your last day is? Oh, it's on the bottom of my foot, right? It's stamped down there. No, it's not. We have no idea. I could have a heart attack right now and die. Whew, what a glory that would be to be found preaching the word with my last breath. Of course, I'd feel sorry for you folks because I imagine what you would go through. But the awesome thing is, I don't know. Neither do you. Be on alert. Okay? Therefore, be on alert. Continuing on. For you do not know which day our Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. We need to be on alert. We need to be ready. For what? For the end of times? No. We're to be looking and seeing that those things are happening now. And how is our world looking to you? How many of you are looking forward to 20 more years of this stuff? I don't think any of us are. We want it to be as it was in the days of Noah, don't we? We want them to be eating and drinking and marrying and having a party. And then it started to rain. And it was too late because the boat was already shut. Jesus is speaking to the church here. He's speaking to you and me. He is speaking to every one of us. When we come into the church, are we coming into a holy place? Or are we just coming in because, oh, this is a good break from what's happening out in the world and pastor makes me feel good about myself? I don't want you to feel good about yourself because you are a wretch. Yeah, I said that. I am a wretch. The only thing I have to feel good about is the fact that Jesus Christ, through the love of God, died on the cross of Calvary for me. Before eternity began, Jesus knew my name. God called me elect, and he called you. That's my only hope in life and death, that I belong body, mind, and soul to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the very first question in the Heidelberg Catechism. And that's our tradition. That's our faith. We cannot go into this thing unprepared. We have got to be ready. Ready for what? We are eternal beings in Jesus Christ. Get your heads out of this world. And that's where we have them, because our bodies are stuck in it. Would you get your head and your heart into the head and the heart of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? For 15 minutes, it's all I ask of you, 15 minutes a day. If you can't give me 15, give God 5. He will change you. He's changed me. And believe me, if he can change this wretch, he can change a worm. In fact, Jesus said, I am a worm. Our Lord and Savior said that. In the flesh, that's what he said. I am a worm. Whew. If you understand what he was meaning by that, because he would become all our sin, all our unworthiness. He would become for us because he loved us. Therefore, be alert. Therefore, be ready. Ready for what? Let's move on. Who then is the faithful? This is from 45. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Brothers and sisters, Jesus right here, he is talking to you and me. God has already given us all things through Jesus Christ. We have been born again. The Holy Spirit is enveloped in us. We have a reason for being. Our entire reason for being is to love God, love others, and go. And when we are found doing those things, we will be put in charge of much in heaven. We need to understand, we are to be alert For when the master is gone, he has been gone for 2,000 years. Is he still here? Yes, in our hearts and in our minds. And he is the one motivating us and moving us forward. And we need to begin acting like the Christ. We need to be the church. I want to raise you up. Get your head out of the stuff of this world. You are much more worth all than this world has to offer. Jesus Christ died. God died that you may know eternity. And you can know it now, here on this planet. You can know the hope, the mercy, the compassion, the love that we are to share with one another. We were just talking about that today in our new members class, that the church has become so cynical and so singularly minded in witch hunting that they have forgotten their mission to love God, love others, and go. Where does it say to condemn and to put down? Okay? We're not. God says we're not to judge the world. So stop judging the world. What are we going to do when we have a couple comes in here with 50 million piercings and purple hair? Oh, we got a couple with purple hair. We're going to love them. We got to love them. Because I hate to tell you this, but when you look in the mirror, that person you see, that ain't the real you. How many of you ladies, I'm going to pick on you here, all right? Please don't beat me up. How many of you ladies get up in the morning and the first thing you do is go put your face on? We all wear masks. Okay? Guys, yeah, we don't stand in front of the mirror and put makeup on and do all that stuff. Okay? Most of us, anyhow. I know there are some guys that do. And hey, more power to you. I ain't got the time. Or the patience. But the reality is we all wear masks of many different types. Jesus here is telling us, take the masks off. Be who you are. I loved you. Now go love these people. I want to find you doing what I taught you to do. Jesus says in his word, when I return, will I find faith? He's not talking about people flooding the churches and standing up and waving arms. He could care less about that. He told them in the Old Testament that their worship, that their festivals and their ceremonies were worthless before him because their hearts weren't there. Folks, it's the same thing today. We serve the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Are we showing the people out there that want to hate us, that want to beat us up, that want to close down our churches and make us stop me? Are we loving those people? Are we telling them about the love of Jesus Christ? Are we expressing to these people that we work with that just torque us off? I almost said the wrong word there. Are we willing to go out of our way to show the love of Christ to that individual that we positively loathe? Because we can turn them into a brother. Well, God can turn them into a brother or a sister that we love. But we've got to be willing to step out of ourself, out of this mind and this flesh, and into an eternal reality that says, you know, when I look at you in a fleshly sense, you are worthless. But when I look at you in a spiritual sense, because it's the way God looks at me, you have so much worth you have no idea. There are so many young people in our world today. They are clamoring for something and they're grabbing a hold of these causes that are out there because it gives them some energy. It gives them something in their lives to make their life have a purpose. Jesus Christ has died on the cross that we would each know the purpose that God has given us, and that is not to defeat each other or beat each other or break each other, but to love each other and become one unit whole and holy. That all of us have purpose. Every one of you is is an eternal being that God will love forever and ever and ever. And Jesus is telling us, please, look at what he's saying here. Please, feed these people. What are we supposed to feed them with? Spiritual food. Spiritual food. Feed them with the love of God that is in you, the love of God that you've received. Stop being this cold-hearted individual. You are so locked up in that freezer of life. There's a foot of insulation on every side. We need to turn on the defrost right here and right now. Oh, what I would do to have a church that was totally defrosted. I couldn't contain you. As small as our church is, you couldn't be stopped. If we were truly evangelizing the way Jesus is teaching us to evangelize right here, he is telling us it's going to get this bad. How bad is it, folks? Is it bad enough yet for us to start? Do you think we ought to turn on the defrost button just yet? Or should we wait just a little bit longer? I think we need to turn the defrost on now. And it's got to start here. Because if it doesn't, do you know what's in store for us? You know, there's a lot of people that walk into the church, and I'm talking to you folks out there. I'm talking to these folks in here. I'm talking to me. There's a lot of folks who walk into church every Sunday. They spend money on retreats. They go to all these wonderful places. They do all these wonderful things. And if you sit and talk with them, they're so bitter. All they do is talk about people, talk about situations that are mean or nasty. They don't tell me. You know, it's funny because I wait to hear them, well, where did you pray with that individual? Well, I'm not going to pray with them. Oh, yeah, Jesus wouldn't pray with you, right? What's going to happen if we don't turn the defrost on? Well, you know, Jesus gives us that. Let's look at what he has to say. From verse 48. But if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Folks, I don't make this stuff up. It's right here. It's written down for us, and it has been kept for all time. If we are not going to do what God has asked us to do, which means love others, love them right where they are, you know, question arose this morning in our discipleship time. Pastor, we were talking about sexuality, and our stance is that homosexuality is a sin. And I was asked, but Pastor, I have friends who are homosexuals, so I'm not allowed to be around them. Whoa, I never said that. Isn't that what we talked about? I want you to be around those people. I want you to be around those people. I want you to love on those people in a healthy, holy way. In a way that says, I love you, don't like your sin, but I love you. There's so much worth in you. I have two nephews that are homosexual. I hug them both every time I see them. I love them. Okay? We need to love every person that's out there. And I think it's funny because we all pick on that one thing, that sexual issue. Well, how about this? You know, when was the last time you told a lie? Don't answer that question because you'll lie to me. When was the last time you cheated on your income tax? Oh, I never cheat on my income tax. Oh, you claim everything, right? Yeah. Yeah. When was the last time you were inconsiderate? When is the last time? And boy, we could keep going down this list. Let us all remember.
None of us are worthy. No, not one. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus spread wide his arms on the cross of Calvary, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. You see, Jesus turned on the defrost button a long time ago. But we've got to apply it to our hearts. Are you ready? Are we ready to truly be the church? This is our time. There's a world out there that is screaming every night on the television to be understood, to be reckoned with. And we have the answers. We have the light of the world. And we have the life that is the true life, the only life that lasts. Our broken world is going to keep breaking, and it's going to keep getting worse. Are you going to be part of the regeneration? Can I be part of that? I don't want to convict you into anything. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to understand you're here because God loves you. And how many of us are at the exact same level of our maturity? We're not. But how many of us receive grace every day? Whew. As much as I need, because God says, what? My grace is sufficient. When are we going to realize that those people out there that we're looking at and we're saying them and they are us and we? We got to change. We got to get back to what Jesus started. You know, we've come so far in the church that sometimes I think we've gone too far. We've gone too far into our own self-righteousness. And I pray that today we can roll back the tide a little bit. I think we need to. I look at our world out there, and I've stopped watching TV. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I get to the point where I become physically sick because I can't stand to see it. Because we are so broken. We hate each other so much. There is no love. And I don't know how to fix it. But I know who can. And all I have to do is trust him. And when we speak his name, even the demons shudder. So let us speak his name. Let us be found faithful. Let us share the word of Christ with one another to encourage each other, but then take it out into the world. Brothers and sisters, you have a purpose in this life. And it is to live a good, full, abundant life. But we have to determine, are we going to defrost ourselves first? So many times Christians come to church and they want to feel good about themselves. How many of you feel good about yourself right now? How many of you feel like you need to perhaps spend a moment in prayer and just ask the Lord to do a work? Because I'll tell you right now, if our world doesn't need a work, there's something missing. Yesterday, there were two prayer events in Washington, D.C., both Rick Heisey and I sent it out. If you're on the church mailing list, you got the link. I won't ask you to tell me how many of you prayed yesterday or how many of you even looked at the email. But today, please remember, God's not a respecter of time because he's not bound by time. We are. But today, I'd like us just to take a moment as we end this series. Melting cold hearts. Number one, it starts with us. So let's start to defrost now. Father God, we come before you. Lord, I just ask that each one of us here understands that what's going on, the pestilence that we see, this COVID, this election that has our nation divided, this defunding the police, Black Lives Matter, all this stuff, that's just what's happening here in the United States. Good Lord, Father, there are militaries moving over in Turkey because they're starting to fight over oil rights. Lord, if there's a time we need you, it's now. But God, it has to start in my heart. It has to go out from me because it has to be in me. And that it is you, Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, do your work. Draw my heart. Convict me of my own sin and my own bigotry. And help me to understand that we are in this together. We are one family. We have two parents, Adam and Eve. Some of us are destined for hell, and we know that. And some of us are destined for eternity, but we don't know who is who. Lord, we know you've called our name, and we're grateful. But Lord, help us to see and understand. Through your words, you're teaching us, my faith is not personal. It's not something I can keep to myself. I have to take it out. That I may be found faithful. That I may be found loving you, loving others, and going with the word. Gracious Lord, begin to defrost my heart. Let me see when my words are inappropriate. Let me know when my actions are selfish, and help me to be as you are, forgiving, loving, and compassionate to a lost world. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.